Our reading for today is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 to 9. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 to 9. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done beautiful things to me. The poor you have will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. May God bless this reading to our hearts. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we see this woman who has given everything she had, the best she had, the most precious she had, may we also, Lord, present ourselves and all that we are and have to yourself, knowing that it's because of your sacrifice, your love, and your grace towards us that we are what we are. And help us to serve you and love you and do the best we can for your kingdom and for the salvation of the souls. Because the poor we have always with us, but the possibilities to bring the joy and happiness to those who are perishing are not always there. So help us not to waste the possibilities and opportunities that you present towards us, for us. And we also ask, Lord, that you would bless our pastor, that you would inspire him. May the Holy Spirit lead him and convey your message to us so that we might not only listen, but accept into our hearts and live in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
It was a few days before the Passover. Jesus was invited to a banquet. This man was called Simon the leper. Maybe to show his gratitude for being healed from leprosy from Jesus, he threw up this big party. And as Jesus and the others reclined at the table, that was the way that usually the posture a man would take or be in for eating in a banquet meal. An unnamed woman, probably Mary of Bethany, and that is found in John 12:3, came in with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke it and poured the perfume on his head. That we just read, verse 3. The whole place now was filled with the beautiful fragrance of the perfume. Jesus was sort of just watching and seeing what the result would be of that. Her love and appreciation for him was demonstrated in this act. Just as a jeweler places a diamond against black velvet to make the contrast even more obvious, the Holy Spirit and the human writer Mark highlight the beauty and radiance of this woman's love, pure and unadulterated as it was against the dark and corrupt plotting of the religious leaders and Judas, his disciples, who betrayed him. And I've seen this happen a lot. When you are going by a jewelry store, you see the whole window with three or four little pieces, little diamonds or a little ring, and the background is a black velvet. And you wonder, why didn't he put a lot of stuff there? No, all he wanted is to emphasize and highlight and show how beautiful that little pearl or diamond is, because all the rest of the window is black velvet or black, and that pure white, if you wish, sparkling diamond is there. So this is exactly what is happening here in this story, a real story. This man was cured from leprosy. This man was forgiven. And this man now wanted to pay back Jesus' kindness by inviting him for a lunch or supper or dinner. And he has invited all the important people and his disciples, Jesus' disciples. And Jesus is there eating. And then there comes this woman. Everyone knew, or most of them knew who she was and what she had done in the past. They knew that she was not a holy woman to start with. And here, why is she coming to, coming into that wonderful situation, the lunch or banquet? And then she pulls out a bottle. And all of a sudden, you see the pureness of her heart and the darkness and blackness of the plotting people around him, including Judas, who was going to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. Some of the guests thought this was a tremendous waste. What a foolish and reckless woman to waste this expensive perfume worth more than 1 year's wages, they said, and they rebuked her harshly. And here we have this happening all the time. People will condemn those who will give money for missions, will give money for spreading the good news, and yet these are the same people who condemn those who are giving their life and who are giving their time and their family and their savings to spread the good news. And those who condemn them will build big cathedrals and will install all kinds of equipment and they'll do all kinds of things. And yet, these are useless when it comes to the salvation of those who are being perishing. And how much do we do to elevate ourselves and put ourselves on a pedestal? How much we give to build the name of a church, to build the name of an association, and yet we forget to honor Jesus Christ and to bring the best we have for him. This woman had understood who Jesus was. They hadn't. People still think that it is a waste to give few hours of their time to God, let alone give their whole life to the Lord. Many think that believers in Jesus waste their time and lives. This woman gave all she had, her life and her wealth. Verse 8 says, she did what she could. She actually recognized her golden opportunity to honor her Savior. She recognized her golden opportunity to honor her Savior. How many times have you honored your Savior? How many times have I honored my Savior? How many times have I spent my time planning about the church, planning about my business, planning about my family, and yet I have no time to honor my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ? This woman did what she could, Jesus said. And that reminds me of the other example, this poor woman who had 1 cent left. And she took that cent and went all the way to the temple. And she put it very quietly, very slowly, she put it in the collection plate. And Jesus did not see and did not hear the sounds that the big coins made when the rich people came and put their money in there. But he heard that little click. Because she gave all she had. And the others, they were only giving from their leftovers. But if the others were so interested to help the poor, why didn't they? Why didn't they? The poor were with them. They could have just invited them in and feed them, give them from the same food. They didn't. But Jesus would soon die and be buried. This woman wanted to show her appreciation and love while she could. Someday it will be too late for each one of us to show our appreciation. Someday when we are called home, we would look back and say, oh my goodness, I wasted so much time. I could have worshipped God. I could have done the best I could, all I could for His glory, and yet I did not. Jesus commended her for doing what she could. She is a good example for us. Well, what can I do, you may say, or you may ask. First, I believe there are a few things we can do. And let me just go through a short list of things we can do. First, you must do what you can to build up your faith. You and I must do what we can to build up our faith. In 1 John 5 and verses 4 to 5 and 5 we read, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We overcome through faith. We are as effective as our faith is." When people ask me, what's going to happen to the people who don't know very much? What's going to happen to the people who only heard a little bit? They don't know what Protestantism is. They don't know what Calvinism or Arminianism is. They don't know what kind of doctrines there are. They have never studied. They have never been to a Bible study. What's going to happen to them? And how responsible are they? And my answer has been, they are only accountable for the amount of light they have received. But you have no excuses. I have no excuses. Because we have received so much light, we don't know what to do with it. And yet, these people who have only heard a word, or maybe never heard a word about Jesus and His second coming and all kinds of other doctrines we always preach about, and yet they've seen the nature, they've seen God at work, and they searched for Him, God will reveal Himself. And they are accountable for that revelation that God has made to them. So our faith, our strength is as effective as our faith is. We must take time to develop strong faith. We must take time to develop strong faith. And again, my prayer every day is, and people have blamed me some. I remember a pastor said, what kind of a pastor are you? You're praying to God to strengthen your faith. You mean to say you don't have faith? And I don't know, maybe I am not what he expected me to be, and yet I know that my faith needs to be strengthened by the second, by the minute. Because I cannot, as in this human body of flesh, understand everything and realize everything. And I need God's help, the Holy Spirit, to help me as he helped this lady who, in the past, she had lived a life that was not pleasing to God and was sinful, and people called her all kinds of names, and yet in the eyes of Jesus she stood up like a diamond, like a pearl, and the rest of them were a dark background only. Take time to read the Bible. You say, how can I become stronger in faith? Take time to read the Bible daily. In Romans 10:17, we read, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Take time to pray. Mark 11:22-24, we read, have faith in God. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. When I put that verse there, I stopped for a little bit, and I thought about that verse. Lord, I said, I don't understand it. Please explain it to me. What do you mean? If I have faith, a little faith, I can ask this mountain to move. Is that possible? Even if I believe 100%, if my faith is great and ask this mountain to be moved from the center of Montreal and go somewhere else, will that happen? And then I thought about it. And you probably thought of it. We sing, if you only have faith like a mustard seed, you can ask this mountain to move and go and drop in the sea. What do we mean? And I realized that what God was saying was, if you have faith, even those problems, those difficulties, those the challenges that you face that are even higher than mountains can be moved, will be moved. Obviously, God is not interested in moving the mountains and the rivers, but He is interested, and He wants to move those mountains and the obstacles that prevent you from living a fulfilled and happy life. Take time to be alone with God. Very often, we are so busy in doing churchianity, in playing churchianity and Christianity and religion and family and business and pleasure and sports and all kinds of things, that we have no time for God. And you may ask, well, what am I going to do with God? Just go and sit there. No, actually what God wants you to do is just for a moment stop and let Him speak to you. And He will. Exercise your gifts by using them and becoming active in your church. You say, well, I'm too busy. Well, you know, in the New Testament, the first church, people took this so literally that they sold their businesses, that they gave away all their stuff, and they got together, and from time to time, Yaroslav will mention the kibbutz, got together and worked together and brought their money together, and they shared it until it didn't work anymore because the human heart is very greedy. And yet, I believe we do need to work for the kingdom and in the kingdom. Exercise your faith and it will grow. Exercise your faith and it will grow. And once again, I thought about that verse. And I said, what does that mean? You see, this noise is the radiator exercising. I don't know why we have those noises from time to time. But I know that when you exercise your faith will grow. It's like your muscles. When you start exercising, you start developing muscles and you become stronger. When you exercise your faith becomes stronger. And now I have to compete with this noise, so I will shout a little louder. Believe that God will always be there for you. And that was number one. First, you must do what you can to build up your faith. Second, you must do what you can to build up other believers and their faith. In Romans 14, verse 19, we read, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification." Mutual edification is the way to go in the church. If my brother sinned, if my brother has failed, and I neglecting and push him away and say, "Well, what kind of a believer are you?" And either I walk away from him or I push him away, then I'm not a practicing Christian, because this brother needs me now more than ever before. Yes, he has sinned. Yes, King David had committed adultery and murder and cover up, and yet God loved him enough to send Nathan, and Nathan went there with trembling heart and talked to him, and David appreciated that visit more than anyone else, who sort of did not see that the emperor was naked, and they didn't talk to him about his mistakes. We are all to edify, build up one another, and not focus on the faults of other believers. And unfortunately today, the church, the believers, the families, it has become a sport, criticizing and pointing fingers and judging and executing, if you wish, people who have failed in their life, who have made mistakes. Who has not made a mistake? Now, if you have not made any mistakes, then please tell us how you have succeeded in doing that. But the Bible says we all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God, meaning that today he has sinned and tomorrow you may sin. And in the Bible we read, when the psalm writer says, "Don't laugh at me when I fail, because today you're standing, but tomorrow you will be the one falling down." So we are to edify, build up each other. Christians, true believers, are not perfect, just forgiven. Don't cause others to stumble, but rather consider weaker members of God's family. Okay, number two was we must edify, we must build up others. In Galatians 6:1, we read, "When other brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. When others stumble and fall, you must help and restore them." Do what you can to be a good example to others, the Bible says. And in 1 Timothy 4:12, we read, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." Third, you must do what you can to build up the church, the body of Christ. You must do what you can to build up the church, the body of Christ. Not particularly this church or any church, but the body of believers. In Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, we read, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up." There are many ways you can help build up the body of Christ. But the following are some of the ways you can help and do what you can to build the body of Christ, the church. You can help through teaching. Are you gifted and able to teach? You must do what you can. Are you using your gift in the church? Teaching is not only preaching and teaching Sunday school. You can teach individuals at work, at school, at play, with your words and your life, you must do what you can to teach, to reflect Christ. First is, you can help through teaching. Then you can help through love, speaking in love, giving in love, encouraging in love. You must do what you can. And again, these are difficult things to do. How can you love someone who has just hurt your feelings? How can you love someone, a boss, that is taking advantage of you? Well, if you can't love him, then the other option you have is you must hate him or ignore him. And that is not going to bring him any closer to God. Number three, you can help through evangelism, spreading the good news. And I believe our church is very interested in evangelism because we have taken God's instructions, or the instructions Jesus gave, very seriously when he gave the commission. And I believe reaching out is what Jesus did. Jesus did not care whether there was one person or 50,000 people present. He spent time. He teached and he helped. When the Samaritan woman came, Jesus could have turned away from her, and yet he saw a very hungry soul and he reached out to her, and yet through her the entire village was saved. Churches are almost empty because people are not doing what they can. Our church is not full. What are you doing, and what am I doing to fill it? And numbers is not important. When I say fill the church, there are ways that we could fill this church. I suppose we could have a pizza dinner every time. We can start offering coffee. We could bring a big orchestra here, and the people would come because they would enjoy the music. But that's not what I mean. What I mean is, how is your ministry? How is your outreach in bringing the unsaved, the lost people, the prostitutes, the drug addicts, your neighbor, your family, to church so they can hear the word of God, and then they can worship? This is what outreach is. It's not just increasing the numbers. In order to build up the body of Christ, you and I must share the good news with others every day. Is that asking too much? Not at all. Just remember what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross and what he is doing daily in your life. We must do what we can. This woman who came to Jesus did what she could. Jesus was there with his followers. Jesus was there with this rich man. Obviously, he was rich enough to throw this great banquet. And Jesus had come to the end of his ministry, and all he had in his mind was the cross. He had come for the cross. He was preparing for the cross. He was about to be betrayed by his follower, Judas. And Jesus was, humanly speaking, heartbroken because no one really understood who he was. No one really realized what was going to happen a couple of days later, except this woman. Some people may say that she was a prostitute or demon-possessed or whoever she was. She understood who Jesus was, and she brought the best she had. We have the example in the other Gospels where the woman came and washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. Well, Jesus, you may say, what kind of a treatment he wanted, he is asking. No, it wasn't to clean his feet. It wasn't to smell good. It was to see the heart of the human being that had been changed. And a heart that has been changed reflects the presence of the Holy Spirit in his or her heart. This woman didn't care what these clowns were saying.
They were saying, "Oh, you know, so and so, what do you think you're doing? You could have given this. We could have put it in our treasury and we would help the hungry people somewhere else." And today churches are busy with humanitarian endeavors and raising money for this. I've been getting emails from groups who want to work with all kinds, and I don't want to mention activities, and yet have nothing to do with the salvation of the human being, with the good news that will not only change the life of the human being, but change life and bring eternal life to the human being that hears the message. You hear messages about abortion, they're fighting, there are those, and it's not whether I agree or disagree, it's the emphasis that I'm more concerned about. Any good act, any good work that emphasizes more that work, activity, or message, more than highlighting Christ himself, or more than bringing glory to Christ, anything that we do that will obscure the face of Jesus Christ is creating a new religion, a new group, or a new activity that takes away from the message of Jesus Christ. Here you have this woman who I'm sure had tears. She was so grateful for being free from sinfulness. She was so grateful for removing those demons from her that she had. And that perfume, I believe it came from India somewhere. It comes from the roots of some kind of a plant, and it's very expensive and very effective in with a beautiful fragrance, if you wish. And she could have sold it and kept the money. Why would she give it to the disciples? But she did not. She just gave it to the Lord, all she had. We can make a difference wherever we are. We can make a difference in the church and in the world. Mary of Bethany was not a perfect, sinless person, and yet Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be also told in memory of her." Have you done anything that will be remembered tomorrow? Have I done anything that will be remembered tomorrow? Have you done anything, or are you planning to do something that will affect the lives of others and they will remember for your example, for your acts, for your message? 2,000 years have gone by, and this morning we're talking about this woman who brought her best, and she did all she could. The fragrance of that perfume reaches down to our generation today. She is remembered around the world as Jesus said she would be. She did what she could. We must also do what we can to honor God and show our love and appreciation to Jesus Christ, who gave his life to set us free from sin and death. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving your life to save our soul. Lord, thank you for giving us the ability to see you. We did not deserve this gift, and yet you loved us so much that you revealed yourself to us, the human race. And you invited us to accept the free gift of salvation. And yet, people will follow their own desires. They'll reject you as they did there. This morning I pray that the Holy Spirit may touch each one of us and help us understand the importance and the value of reaching out and bringing this good news to others. Please be with us, guide us, and protect us. In your blessed name I pray, amen.